TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Yes, it is. Welcome in. Raised by Wolves as the NBA draft is officially come and gone, and NBA free agency is just hours away. A lot of hours, but just hours away, Manny Hill.
Are you happy that the draft is over now?
Because
you were
thrilled.
Telling me, like,
I was exhausted.
The week leading up to it, you were just like, I just want this thing to be over.
It's so much, and you don't know what's going to pan out. You knew the Wolves were going to be aggressive. At least that was the feeling that I had, and based on everything I'd heard, I didn't necessarily expect them to move up to number six, but I knew that they were trying to move up somewhere. Obviously, they got that accomplished. They got Jarrett Culvert, number six, out of Texas Tech. So they did what they set out to accomplish, but it is an exhausting process, and free agency is going to be much like that.
Yeah.
And what makes free agency a little bit worse, at the same time a little bit more fun, is that you don't know when things are going to happen. With the draft,
right,
we know it's okay. It's going to be Thursday night, 6:30 Central Time. This thing's going to get rolling. We'll be done by 1.
We kind of have an idea of when the Wolves are going to pick, especially after they traded up to 6. We
kind of
said,
exactly,
okay, yeah, they're going to pick around this time.
But man, it was exhausting, and free agency is going to be no different in terms of just how much is going to happen. I think it's going to be a period just filled with fireworks. I can't wait for it. I think the Wolves are going to be active. I really do. I think that it's going to be fun. This roster is going to look a lot different than it did last year. They've got 6 guys that are free agents, either unrestricted for 5 of them, and Tyus is a restricted free agent. So this roster is going to look greatly different than it did for Game 82 in Denver.
How many of these guys, the 6 guys that you mentioned, how many of these guys do you think will be back with the team?
Funny you say that, because that's what I'm writing tomorrow for ScoreNorth.com, Manny. So Lou Alding, Anthony Tolliver, Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose, and Jared Bayless, all unrestricted free agents, right? Tyus Jones is the restricted free agent. I think he's probably the most likely to be back. I would put that the other 5 are all borderline, a little bit past unlikely, if not even more. Like, I think Jared Bayless,
I think he's gone.
I think there's next to no chance that he comes back. I don't think he's a fit here in Minnesota anymore. Lou Alding probably has the most chance to come back because they could really use his skill set. A guy that can play both sides of the ball, can do a lot of things. It's just his age and the Achilles injury he suffered at the end of last season, something that should be a little bit worrisome about bringing him back. Anthony Tolliver, I don't know. Taj Gibson, I don't know. Derrick Rose, maybe, but I think he'll have more suitors than just the Wolves. I think that 4 or 5 teams are going to be calling him off, wanting his services when the clock strikes 5:01 Central Time on June 30th, this Sunday. So I think Tyus is probably the most likely. And then I'd go Luol. And then after that, I would be surprised if any of the other guys are back in terms of AT and Taj and Derek. And I'd be stunned if Jared Bayless returns.
Yeah, with AT, with Anthony Tolliver too, it just seems like it's not that he was bad here or a disappointment or anything like that, but it just seems like a situation where it's probably just better for him maybe to just move on, because he's probably,
I don't
at
think
a stage,
there's bad blood or anything.
No, certainly not. But it just seems like with where the Wolves are at and where he's at in his career, that he might want to go to a team that probably has a better chance to maybe contend for a championship next year that he could potentially help out, especially with his 3-point shooting.
Yeah, very well could be something like that. I think that, you know, this situation is not going to be the best one for him. And I'm not sure that he's the type of player the Wolves are going to be looking for.
Right.
I think the free agency market is going to be very, very interesting. And maybe they find a way to get D'Angelo Russell. That'd be about as exciting as this period could get for them. But if not, I think that there are probably some interesting guys that are a tier below that the Wolves could have an opportunity to go after in terms of the mid-level exception. Maybe they break up that mid-level exception and use it on 2 or 3 different guys. Or maybe they spend all of it on 1. That's what I think I'm most curious about, what's going to happen with this free agency period for the Wolves, is how do they use that?
So ultimately, D'Angelo Russell is in some ways the ultimate prize for this team. Like, that's probably the best player that maybe realistically that they could go get. And even then,
they're
I don't know how.
They're not getting Kevin Durant. They're
right,
not getting
they're not
Kyrie Irving. Jimmy Butler's not walking back through that door. Tobias Harris isn't coming to the Wolves. I don't think the Wolves want him back. let's see. Who else? Klay Thompson isn't coming here.
Right.
So, yeah, you can knock off that top-tier free agent scope. Yeah, none of them are even going to think about the Wolves.
So, aside from him, though, where should they be looking in terms of free agency? Just in terms of, like, position, money that they would have to spend. You mentioned the mid-level. Where should they go? What direction should they go?
I think that they need to figure out some backcourt shooting, because that's something they just don't have right now. Josh Okogie, not a very good shooter last year. Andrew Wiggins has proven to not be a very good outside shooter throughout the entirety of his career. Robert Covington's essentially going to be a full-time power forward now. That's what Gersan Rosas said after the draft last Thursday night when he talked. And that's why they traded away Dario Šarić, is because they feel that they get the best out of Covington when he's playing the four. He's super interchangeable defensively, but on the offensive end of the floor, he's better at the four than he is the three. So that's what their plan is going to be moving forward. Part of the reason I also kind of ruled out Taj Gibson returning because of that. So I think finding backcourt shooting would be a big deal. I think that looking at a guy maybe like Seth Curry as someone who you could get for that mid-level exception, maybe he's interested. He's in that second or third tier of free agents, and I think he'd be a really good fit. He's not where they would like him to be defensively, of course, but the kid can shoot, and you don't have any of that right now in-house with the Wolves.
And I think when you look at the rest of the roster, at least at the guys who you figure to be here, it seems like there is enough defense there to sort of offset what you might not be getting out of Seth Curry. Like, in a perfect world, Jared Culver is going to come in and be pretty solid defensively for you, and potentially down the line he'll be very good for you. At least that's the hope. We know Josh Okogie brings an energy on the defensive end. We know how terrific a defender Robert Covington is. It seems like there's enough in that department there to where you can maybe be able to protect Seth Curry if you bring him in in some instances.
They could have really good defenders on the wing in terms of Josh Okogie's going to be a really good defender in this league. He was a good defender last year for a rookie, but I think he's going to be a good defender over the long haul. Obviously, Robert Covington's an all-defensive guy. Like, he was first-team all-defense 2 years ago, and last year probably would have been had not that injury happened. And then Jared Culver is supposed to come in and be able to contribute defensively right away. That'd be a great sign for the Wolves. You could trot those three out there. You're going to be looking for offense because Culver is a giant question mark. Josh Okogie doesn't shoot the ball well enough. You're going to be looking for offense there, but teams should have a lot of trouble trying to score on those guys too.
I'm so interested in Jared Culver in that, first of all, how good is he going to be right away? And what that will mean for one Andrew Wiggins, if that could potentially dip into some minutes. If Jared Culver comes in and he's defending, and we know the shooting is a question mark, but if he's defending and he's showing an effort that we have maybe not been seeing from Andrew Wiggins for the last 5 years, I wonder how much of an impact that will have just on in terms of Andrew's role and how much we will actually see him play on a nightly basis.
The only thing I would rule out this offseason is this team trading Karl Anthony Towns. That's it. That's the only thing I can rule out. They've shown that they're going to be aggressive. They showed that on draft night, moving up for Jarrett Culver at number 6. It cost him Dario Šarić. Didn't care. They wanted to be aggressive. They're going to be aggressive shopping everybody, and that includes Andrew Wiggins. I know that they're talking about how they're investing time into him and money into him and all these resources to try and make him the best possible player, but they're also looking. They're opening. They're open to trading him. If they find a team that wants him, they're not going to hesitate to move him if they find the right deal for them. They're just not going to do that. They're going to explore every single avenue to make this team better. They've already done that to an extent, but that does include looking into trading Andrew Wiggins, looking into trading Jeff Teague, seeing if there's a market for Gorgui Dieng. All of these things they're going to look into doing.
And what is the backup plan if they're not able to get D'Angelo Russell? Obviously, if they get him, boom, your point guard situation is pretty much solved. But if they don't get D'Angelo Russell, which I think you and I both kind of have the same feeling on that, that it would be very, very difficult for them to get it. It's not impossible, but it'd be very difficult. If that does not happen, what is the plan at point guard? Because they didn't get Darius Garland like they wanted. They passed on Kobe White. So now if there's no D'Angelo Russell coming in this summer, what is plan B, so to speak, for the point guard position?
Plan B would be, you go into the season with Jeff Teague as your starter. There are worse things. Jeff Teague is, he's not the player that he was last year. Like, he had a bad year last year. He's a better player than that. He was injured a lot. He just wasn't right when he was on the court a lot of time. I do think he'll actually have a pretty good year this year because he'll come out. One, it's a contract year. He's playing for money. He's going to have something to prove that he's still the player that he once was. So I think Jeff Teague will have a good year. There are worse things for the Wolves or any team, really, than having Jeff Teague as your starting point guard. I think that not if D'Angelo Russell is not part of the picture, there's a higher likelihood of Tyus Jones being back. I think if D'Angelo Russell finds a way to Minnesota, I don't think you bring Tyus back. Or Jeff Teague's gone, but you're not having all three of them on the roster with the money that it would cost.
Would you look elsewhere in free agency, or I guess a better question, who is out there that could potentially be a nice fit, at least as a stopgap guy?
Honestly, I don't even know, because the point guard market's going to be expensive at the top.
Yeah.
Like Malcolm Brogdon's going to, and obviously he's not an option for the Wolves.
Right.
The best answer might be just to retain Tyus and hope that the figure he signs for somewhere, whether it's with the Wolves, whether it's an offer sheet somewhere else, hope that that figure doesn't break the bank. That's what you have to hope for.
So like a TJ McConnell or a Darren Collison doesn't do much for you?
I think Darren Collison would interest me. I'm not very high on TJ McConnell. I don't think he's that good of a basketball player. I realize that he stuck out some really dark days in Philadelphia as part of the process. And him and Robert Covington were two of the longest tenured 76ers throughout the year they went 10-72. I'm not really high on TJ McConnell. I don't think he's that good of an NBA player.
Is it just the shooting?
It's the shooting. He doesn't do anything at a high level. Like, I don't think that there's any one thing he's really good at that I'm like, you know, he's a big help to the team. And I do think that the Wolves are looking for guys that have at least one skill set that they're extraordinary at. McConnell has zero. I would rather Darren Collison than TJ McConnell. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe I get proven wrong. But as it stands right now, and I do think Darren Collison would be more expensive.
Is it fair to – how do I word this question?
I don't know.
Of course you don't know. I'm not even sure yet. When you look at Gerson Rosas, and obviously they're going to be aggressive, they're going to try and make a lot of moves with this roster, but how should fans view this offseason if a lot of moves are not made despite the aggression? Because I think we know they're going to try and do a lot, but if they don't do as much as maybe people are expecting, how should people
feel? Well, I mean, what are people
that?
Expecting? Because I think I need an answer to that before I can truthfully answer the question you asked me is, what are people genuinely expecting out of this offseason?
Yeah.
Because they're in a hole. The Tibbs era dug a hole for this organization, and the first steps of Gerson Rosas' tenure are to try and dig out of that hole. That's what he has to try and do right now. So they're going to be aggressive. They're going to try and make things happen, but there's no guarantee that they do just because it's a deep hole that they're in.
And I guess how should people feel about that, I guess, is my question. And maybe, I mean, that could be a rhetorical question that, you know, maybe we get feedback from fans on it in that regard on social media or whatever. I don't know. But I'm just anxious because the tough thing that happens in this town, I think, is – people put a huge label on an organization and they don't take into consideration that this is a new regime, that Gerson Rosas has nothing to do with what Tom Thibodeau did here or what Flip Saunders did before him running the organization or David Kahn before Flip and things like that. But I get this sense that if, because we're already seeing it now with the Jared Culver pick, people are already skeptical of that and, oh, they got another guy who can't shoot and this team has always been like this.
I think that's fair. Is overblown with Culver, but go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's kind of what I'm saying is like the label has already been slapped on this team already. And Gerson Rosas has nothing to do with that because he's been on the job for, what, a month and a half now?
He's done nothing wrong so far.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Dario Saric turns into Michael Jordan, which is not going to happen, he's done nothing wrong. Dario Saric is a fine player, but they didn't want to pay him. He was due for a contract extension this year, or he would hit restricted free agency next year, and that number would really balloon. He was going to be a high player, probably $12 to $15 million a year, especially if he had a good year next year. They didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to be on the hook for that.
And
I
now
understand
the Suns are in
moving.
That situation.
Yeah. I don't know what the Suns are doing, but they didn't want to be in that situation. And I can't blame them.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's going to be interesting.
I'm waiting for Sunday.
And we will be live on Score North 1500 AM. You can find us on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Periscope, everywhere. We'll be streaming from 4:30 till 7 Central Time. So make sure to catch us then for a special free agency special as it starts 5:01 Central Time Sunday afternoon. I'm so interested to hear when the first domino is going to fall.
Mm-hmm. Because so much of that's going to affect what everything else happens.
And also what's fascinating, and we've never really had this, there's a really significant crop of big-name guys. And oftentimes when guys, all this player movement, so much of it is done with they justify it by saying, I want to win. I want to go to a winner. I want to go to a place where I can win. I want to get rings, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, biggest name on the market. He's got rings.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard, big name on the market.
He's got rings.
He's got rings. Kyrie Irving, next biggest name on the market.
He's got a ring.
He's got a ring. Klay Thompson, big name on the market. He's got rings. All of these guys, the top tier of free agents, and sure, Klay and Kyrie aren't in the top tier that Kawhi and Kevin Durant are. But they've all got rings. They don't need to go somewhere to win because they've already won. Kawhi's a two-time finals MVP. Same thing with Kevin Durant. They don't have to prove to win anymore. Like, they don't need to do that. Kevin Durant can go to New York and not be an instant winner, and it's not going to affect his legacy because he just won two titles and was the finals MVP. And pretty clearly the difference in Golden State winning or losing finals because they lost before him, they won with him, and then they lost after he got hurt. Kawhi Leonard, I think wherever he goes, he's going to be set up for success, but he doesn't need to justify it as, I want to go here so I can win. He can win in Toronto. He can win in LA with the Clippers. He can win wherever he's going to go, but that's not what he's going to need to do to justify it. Kyrie Irving hasn't been the best player in a championship team. He probably never will be, but he's got a ring.
He's got a ring.
He hit arguably the biggest shot in NBA history with how it happened in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Can't take that away from him. Klay Thompson has been a part of some really good historic teams in Golden State. He's got three rings, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to go anywhere to try and prove that he can win or that he can take a bigger share of the load from Steph Curry. That's not going to happen. He's not leaving Golden State anyways, but you get what I'm saying. And I'm interested of those four because I think those are probably the four biggest, and then Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler would be next.
See, Jimmy's the one that's interesting to me, too, to your point, because Jimmy's never even been to a conference final.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how much, especially at this stage of his career, he's going to be 30 years old later this year.
Mm-hmm.
How much of winning a championship is weighing on whatever decision that he decides to make, too?
That's a good question. And I'm curious how much winning will affect some of the... It's hard for me to classify where Jimmy is and where Tobias Harris is because they're not... I don't want to call them like the third tier guys, but I think that it's fair to put them below Kyrie and Klay Thompson mm-hmm. in terms of just pure talent level and desire. Like, teams are going to have Kyrie and Kawhi and Kevin Durant as the top of their list, and Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris are going to be a bit of an afterthought. That's why the Clippers traded Tobias Harris, because they weren't going to be able to send that. They weren't going to be able to offer him the max contract on July 1st. At the time, it was still July 1st. Yeah. At 5:01 on June 30th, they weren't going to be, Tobias, we want to sign you to a five-year max deal, because they're going to be waiting on some bigger fish. They couldn't do that. That's part of the reason they traded him. Maybe he becomes a max contract guy on July 4th or July 5th once those other guys have decided and other things have figured it out. But
you think the Clippers would bring him back?
I don't know.
Tobias?
Maybe. I wouldn't rule it out. But again, they've got bigger fish to fry.
Right.
They're chasing Kawhi.
Kawhi's off the table. What,
they're chasing Kevin Durant. They're chasing some of the best. I'm curious what happens with the Milwaukee Bucks, too. Because they've got some pretty significant free agents, and they made a trade on draft night or before the draft to free up some money, trading away Tony Snell to Detroit for John Lohr, and they gave up the number 30 pick, I believe it was, which ended up being sold to Cleveland for 4 second round picks and $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious what they do, because Malcolm Brogdon's going to be expensive. He's not going to be a max guy, but he's going to be expensive. Chris Middleton, someone's going to give him a max. He's not going to be a max on July 1st, but July 5th or 6th, he's going to get a max. Brooke Lopez is going to get $10 million a year, at least, I would imagine, for two or 3 years. He's going to get maybe 2 years, $25 million because he was that good in Milwaukee. They're going to have to try and pay Giannis in the future.
Yeah.
I'm very curious what that team's going to look like. They really don't have much of a choice but to try and run it back. And is running it back good enough?
I don't think it is. I'm not sure.
I don't see how they can get better from what they were, because they had a magic in them in Milwaukee this year. They just did. And it's hard to recreate that multiple years in a row. You just don't see it often. Unless you add someone significant the way, oh, the Warriors had magic in 2016. And you know how they kept that magic? His name was Kevin freaking Durant. That's how. Yes.
I'm also looking at some of the other teams in like the Western Conference, for example, that don't have a lot of cap space that are probably going to use like their mid-level really to try and bolster their roster. I wonder like teams like Denver, teams like Portland, teams like Oklahoma City, you know, and I don't have their financial situations right in front of me, but I wonder what sort of moves they're going to try and make, because they're probably looking at Golden State possibly falling back to the pack here and seeing an opportunity maybe to go on a deep run, and I wonder how active they'll be this summer.
All right, I want to force you to make a prediction right now.
Okay.
What seed is Golden State in the Western Conference playoffs next year? It is fascinating, isn't it?
I know. I'm trying to think here.
We're talking about a team that's been the number one seed or number two seed since 2015.
So no KD at all, probably. If they bring back Klay, we might not see Klay till what, March or April?
I would assume no earlier. I would assume that Klay Thompson does not play until after the All-Star break.
I would say at best, probably like a five seed.
I was thinking the six.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I know. And this has been the most dominant team in the league for the last half decade.
One of the most dominant teams in NBA history.
And now we're talking about them maybe not even having home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs.
And the narratives are going to be the worst, because it's going to be, oh, they're the team you don't want to see. Like, thanks. How would you feel? Because I can already tell you how it's going to wind up here. Mm-hmm. Portland's going to get the three seed. And Golden State's going to get the six seed. And they're going to have to, they're finally going to do it. They're going to be like, we got so far. We got a three seed. It's setting up great. And they're going to look at the break and go, you've got to be kidding me.
And everybody is probably going to pick Golden State to beat them, too.
100%. 100%.
It kind of reminds me of when the Wolves in 03 was their seventh straight year making the playoffs. And it was the first time that they had gotten home court advantage in the first round. The previous six times they made the playoffs, they were always the lower seed and always started out every series on the road.
Yeah.
For the first time, they had home court advantage in the first round, and they get Shaq and Kobe in the first round.
That's a tough draw.
And the only reason why is because Portland, there was originally going to be slated to match up with Portland. Portland was the five seed on the last day of the season, and Portland lost on the last day of the season to the Clippers. And drop down to the six and move Shaq and Kobe and the Lakers up to the five seed. And then, of course, they beat the Wolves in six games.
Yeah, of course. So I would also like to ask you, what do you think is going to happen with Kemba Walker? Because now Boston is rumored to be in it. Dallas is going to be a player in the Kemba Walker sweepstakes. I don't think he can win in Charlotte. He's probably the highest ranking free agent, at least in my standings, that can say, I want to go somewhere to win because I haven't won. He's just not been successful in Charlotte through no fault of his own, but he has not been successful in Charlotte in terms of winning.
Right.
So I'm really curious what he's going to do.
I feel like LA is probably the best spot for him.
You don't think Dallas is?
Dallas could be fun.
I think Dallas would be awesome with him, Luka, Kristaps Porzingis, who, according to the Athletic's, going to be getting a 5-year, $183 million offer sheet or whatever his max is.
Mm-hmm. But I just wonder if LA is going to make a heavy push for him if they don't get Kyrie or somebody like that, or Jimmy Butler, to pair with LeBron and AD. Now, what are they going to do? Are they going to figure out this cap space blunder that Rob Pelinka has made in the last couple of weeks with the trade?
I doubt it. It doesn't seem like it.
Because that could change what they could do anyway.
Well, I don't think they're going to have max level money. I don't. I think that, and I also think that they're, and by the way, Kristaps Porzingis' max is 158 over the next five. I think that the best course of action for the Lakers is to probably break up that money with significant role players. If you could get a Trevor Ariza or a Danny Green or someone like that.
Danny Green would be a great fit there.
He would be. He absolutely would be, but he's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
If you could get someone like that for part of that money and use the other parts elsewhere, because they need a lot of help around that roster. They need a lot of help, and it's going to be difficult for them to fill it out. Also, the funniest tweet I saw this weekend is, do you know who the longest tenured Laker is?
Wait, hang on. Let me guess for a second here. Is it LeBron?
It is Luol Deng's cap hold.
That's
longest
fantastic.
Tenured Laker.
That Luol is Deng's fantastic.
Yep.
He's, that's awesome.
And you know what? They could really use that $5 million.
Yeah, they
could. They could really use that $5 million that's held against their cap because they stretched and waved Luol Deng.
That's amazing. Rob Pelinka, man. Unbelievable.
That wasn't even his fault, though.
No,
that
it
was
wasn't. That was
before
Mitch
him. That was yeah. Rob Pelinka deserves slander for a lot of things,
but
Luol Deng's not one of them.
But the reason why we're talking about them maybe wishing they had that extra $5 million is because Rob Pelinka basically kind of screwed up with the timing of the AD trade.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll listen to that.
As far as Kemba goes, I guess the next, if LA doesn't happen, I guess the next spot is Boston or New York.
I would hate to see him go to Boston because I don't want Boston to be rewarded for everything going wrong. Like everything's gone wrong for them. And I want them to, their young core is still going to be exciting and good for them. But I don't want like them to suddenly be, oh, you know, we lost Kyrie, we lost Al Horford, we traded Aaron Baines. All these picks that we've had have turned into Jason Tatum, who's a fine player, and Jaylen Brown, who's also a fine player. But we were supposed to go just big game hunting, and we struck out. Oh, but here's Kemba Walker. Like, don't, Kemba, please don't reward that franchise for that. They don't deserve you.
I also wonder, though, too, if what Kevin Durant decides. Like, if Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks, and we know he's going to miss pretty much all of next year.
I would be surprised if he plays next season.
Right. If he, even despite that, though, if I wonder if that could influence what Kemba does. If Kemba says, okay, KD went to New York. I know he's not going to play next year, but maybe that's a place where I can go too. And, I mean, Kemba's a New York kid, so that could be enticing for him to go back home and play, and then he's going to have KD at the start of the 2021 season playing alongside him. So I wonder if that could potentially influence what Kemba does too.
I'm interested what Kevin Durant's going to do. There are odds out on who he's going to play for next.
Do you think he should pick up his option and just spend next year like rehabbing or whatever with the Warriors, and he would have his money, and because he's still going to get, I mean, whether it's this year or next year, he's still going to get paid.
He is still going to get paid. That's obviously, he's Kevin freaking Durant. He's going to get paid.
And if you're the Warriors, you're probably hoping for that because that would increase your chances of maybe convincing him to stay.
What about the Nets? The Nets are the odds-on favorite to land Kevin Durant like that.
I've been saying, Danny, for like 2 or 3 months when we've talked about Kevin Durant, when everybody's talking about him going to the Knicks, I've thought, why not Brooklyn?
I would love that as someone who's watched a ton of Brooklyn Nets games over the past 3 years. I would love Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to go there. I would be so happy about that as a, not a Brooklyn Nets fan, but like a fake fan that just watches a lot of games there.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. It'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, I get the Knicks appeal and I get the you know, playing at the Garden and all of that, but the Nets to me just seem like such a better run organization right now.
They are. It's not even close.
I mean, and so for that, it's like, if you're Durant, why would that not be the more appealing spot for you?
It's not even, it would be for me, but there's also a mystique about Madison Square Garden and just who the Knicks are historically. I understand that James
Dolan is still the owner.
I get that. Ugh. And it's a dumpster fire, but I also understand it's Madison Square Garden. Like and there is a certain level of greatness that could be achieved if Kevin Durant can be the one to lift them out of just this.
Yeah.
This trash fest 73. That they've been in for the last 20 years since they went to the finals in, what, 99?
Yeah, as an 8 seed. They, yeah, I mean, I get that. And if he goes to the Knicks and wins a title, he would be absolutely beloved in that city for, I mean, that is a fan base, the Knicks fan base, that has been starving for a title for 46 years. Like, yeah. I get it. But it just seemed like the Nets would be so much of a better spot for him.
I would like teams to be rewarded that do things the right way. And the Nets, after the Billy King disaster of a trade with Boston, have made all the right moves, and I would love to see them be rewarded for it. I really would.
Yeah. No, I get the Knicks appeal, but the Nets just make so much more sense. And I've been saying that for like 2.5-3 months.
I'd like to see that happen. I would. I think it'd be exciting. I think the Nets would, and pairing him with Caris LeVert, who I'm really high on, Jarrett Allen, who I'm really high on, I think that'd be a ton of fun. They could be really, really good in 2 years.
And Knicks fans are just annoying.
I don't deal with Knicks fans, really, for the most part. Like, when I think of Knicks fans, I think of Spike Lee and whatever. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. Who cares? I don't, like, who cares? And Spike Lee's more your era than mine.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Knicks, for most of my basketball watching life, the Knicks have not been good. They had the 54-win season with Carmelo when he was great and J.R. Smith was the sixth man of the year. And they won a playoff series for the first time since 2000 or whatever it was.
They beat that KG, Paul Pierce, Celtics group that it was kind of the end of the line for them. They beat him in the first round.
Yeah, I was definitely not sad to see that happen. like, I don't view them as insufferable. I don't see a lot of Knicks fans. Like, maybe it's because, I mean, they've just not been good. I don't deal with a lot of Knicks fans. I don't think of them as this behemoth of a fan base. I just don't.
I think for me, it's just been this constant complaining about just not being good all the time and everything that they do, everybody hates. And I mean, they hated the drafting of Porzingis and he turned out to be fantastic. And I know he had his injury problems and everything. And then of course they hated Phil Jackson for drafting him. And then when a year later, when Phil Jackson was trying to trade him away, everybody was mad at Phil for trying to trade him away.
Phil Jackson was a mistake.
Yeah, that's the understatement of this podcast.
You're right. That's on me. I'll call Captain Obvious. That's on me. All right, I think we're live tomorrow on Score North, right at 1 o'clock. So catch us there. We'll have a Raised by Wolves. Then we'll also be talking Thursday, Sunday. We're live from 4:30 to 7. Be sure to tune in then on 1500 or Score North on any of the platforms that you consume our content. Be sure to download the all-new Score North app. It's available on the Apple iTunes Store as well as on the Google Play Store. So check us out there. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download your media. We're there. Be sure to check us out. Give us a 5-star review. Light up the comments with great stuff about feedback for Manny and myself. We'll catch you next time. I'm Danny Cunningham. That's Manny Hill. Thanks for listening.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.